flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio. Boomer will be back with us tomorrow. I had to leave for a doctor's appointment here at 9 a.m., so Jerry's kind enough to sit in for an hour and hang out, and I'm conflicted about this TV show that I'm watching. It's actually somebody that I saw a few years ago, and she was on social media, and she's got a severe case of Tourette's and also something else that she's one of the ones that will curse while she has these tics. Her name is Baylen Dupree. And she's put all of this out there, and a lot of people thought that it was a joke or a gag, and she was just doing this for internet fame, but because the stuff she says is like, it's funny, and it's hard, it's impossible not to laugh.
We played this, right?
We did a couple of them.
Yeah,
you know,
I remember.
But it ends up she's not at all faking it, and then now is a TLC show. It's also on Max. If you watch it on Max, they do not bleep out the curses. If you're someone like me that would like to hear it without the bleeps. But, you know, I'm watching it, and, like, even the family, like, at times will laugh at some of the things she says. But, man, she goes through hell with this. She can't. I mean, she goes to the supermarket in the episode, and her mom's crying when they leave. She can't go to, like, birthday parties with her friends or her siblings. But so I'm seeing this. I'm like, man, I feel really bad for her. And then she says, like, she'll do this whole thing out of nowhere. She'll be like, tap the rotisserie chicken, tap the rotisserie chicken. Wind it up. And I start laughing.
I remember.
And I can't. And I'm like, well, what am I? So am I a bad guy for laughing at that stuff?
They're putting it out there.
Yeah,
they put it out there for money. Like, what? Like, is it awareness? Is it money? Like, why would you do that?
Exactly. It first started with her own social media. And I guess she wanted to... I don't know why she would start doing it. She was very young, you know, when she started it. She was a teenager. She's 21 now. So she's probably thinking, you know, maybe I can get a bunch of followers because of this, and maybe it'll turn into something. I don't know. Because it is. I mean, it is. It's entertaining.
I thought, because if I remember when you played these, I think we thought it was a joke at first.
Yeah.
And then informed that it was not. And now, years later, here you go. She's got a show, and probably not for those reasons.
Yeah, and you know what's amazing, too, is like, all right, so then you think you're doing it for money, you're doing it for this, you're doing it for awareness. Like, what about the network that puts it out there, too? Like,
you're selling ads.
Yeah, and, but they're also, they're doing it because she's entertaining. I mean, it's sort of like the same thing with I'd watch that Jerry Springer Show documentary. It was like, it doesn't matter, you know, in the eyes of the producers, it doesn't matter what you're thinking, what you're doing, what this story is. You know, we are entertaining people, and we want to try to get as many eyeballs to the TV as possible.
So it's funny you bring that up, because I started watching that the other night. I saw the trailer.
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting there with my wife. I'm like, you want to watch this? She's, eh. I'm like, well, let's just watch the trailer. And it lost me when the security guard was talking about the guy that came on to marry the horse.
Oh, well, that's great.
Can't watch this. I mean, come on. And he was dead serious.
Well, yeah, that guy was dead serious. He missed a great scene, though, about that same story where one of the producers, the guy who ended up quitting, had some health issues. He was talking, the associate producer. He said there was so much pressure on him to find the next story. And he was in the office late night, might have been past midnight, and he's drinking, staying up, and the phone rings, and he picks it up. He goes, Springer Show. The guy goes, oh, I'm glad that you picked up. You know, you're the only people that are going to understand and be able to tell my story. He's like, well, all right, well, what's your story? The guy goes, well, I left my wife and my two daughters for a Shetland pony. Guy goes, perfect.
Oh, my God.
Goes, where bizarre. Can I get a hold of you?
Just bizarre.
Yeah, and then he was afraid to... Oh. He was afraid to pitch it. That producer was afraid to pitch it to the executive producer. And he finally gets enough, like, gumption up to pitch it to him because he's afraid he's going to get yelled at. And the guy goes, well, can we get the horse here? He goes, I think so. He's like, all right, let's do it.
I guess it all comes down to if people are going to watch it, you air it, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, it is amazing that TLC, which was supposed to be the learning channel, has turned into, you know, a lot of stories about morbidly obese people, and someone's got severe autism, and you know, there's the little family doing this. You know, it was really kind of turned into gawking at people who were different. It's tough, and I, and there's times in here like I'm really feeling bad for her.
You're conflicted.
The stuff she's going through, and I'm also, and I hate when people do this because it's like, oh, you know, because I've got a family, I'm more offended in this particular situation. But in this instance, I did apply my own personal feeling about it. I'm like, I do have two daughters. If one of my daughters was doing this, wind it up and tap the rotisserie chicken, like, how would I feel about it? I be happy if people were laughing at her? So I was like, it was a weird experience.
It is a weird experience, but I think you, like just about everybody else that's a parent, things change when all of a sudden you've got a kid of your own. Your emotions change, the way you see the world changes, the way you see people changes. So I don't think you're different at all by saying that.
Yeah. I just, you know, people use that, though. I don't like when people use that and be like, oh, this tragedy hit me harder because I'm this or I'm that.
But I do, right? But I think that's true, though. I really do. I think, I mean, Al, he left. We've had, every year we do the podcast and we gave away co-hosting the podcast for charity.
Yeah, yeah.
So a great dude, Andrew, comes in. The last couple of years, I think the 3 years in a row, he did it with us. And talking to him, he doesn't see things the way I see them. And it's just, and I used to be like him before I had kids. I think it's very real that you do change. Everything changes when you have kids. Because you, like, even, I think it was McMonagle said a couple weeks ago, watching some movie, like how emotional he is now. And he never was before he had kids. Now all of a sudden it's like, you get soft.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I'm not disagreeing with that point. The point I'm saying is, like, when people put out on social media or say to people, this, you know, really, like, they want the attention on them and they apply their lives to it when it's a tragedy that should have nothing to do
Got
with
it. That's all
any of that. That's more what I'm talking about. But you're right. I mean, it does change the perspective. But, you know, I'm finding myself, and I don't know if you're like this, but especially now when the sports have, I don't want to say it's slowed down, because you still have NFL football, you still have the NBA and the NHL regular season and college basketball if you're into that. So it hasn't really slowed down, but there's fewer important things going on right now because the Jets and Giants aren't involved, the Mets and Yankees aren't playing, and we're talking about regular season basketball and hockey. But I'm finding a tough time, like, entertaining myself with stuff that's on television, and I am now going to, like, the most extreme things to entertain myself. And I'm like, is that because I'm in this business that this has happened? Where
I think if you weren't in this business, you'd probably be watching the games.
But you, what do you mean?
I think you'd be watching the Knicks every night.
Well, I'm talking about when I have free nights, things aren't on. Like, what is, like, I'm searching for, like last night, I didn't even watch that TGL last night. I was watching this thing.
I put it on. Nothing.
But
there.
I don't know.
It was a cool thing the first night. Last night was okay. It is what it is.
Yeah, it's indoor golf. But, yes.
I don't know, because you got more choices than ever. You pop YouTube on now. I mean, I don't even, it's funny, even me now, I have DirecTV Stream. I'm bored with the channels. I find myself on YouTube more than I find myself on that. I know you guys like to watch the documentaries, which I do too. But like you, I find a lot not very interesting. And it's almost like there's too many choices. and not enough is interesting, to be quite honest.
Yeah, but it's like I'm searching for all sorts of stuff. Like what is it that the fact that, like, watching... I watched this whole thing on this guy, the Green River Killer. You know that one, Al? That guy, the Green River Killer? Yes. I watched this whole thing on his Green River Killer. I found this... You guys are smiling.
Al heard killer and his ears perked.
Oh, no, the Green River Killer. Yeah, that's a big one.
It was a big one. You know, but like sitting down and saying, all right, it's a Saturday afternoon. It's cold outside. Like, the kids are playing, doing something in the other room. You know, let me just find a nice serial killer documentary to be able to watch to make myself have a good day.
Seems a little dark.
Right! What is that?
I don't know. Because I'm the opposite of that. I can't do it. I can't. Okay. And we talk about it all the time. The things I cannot believe that he will watch a murder mystery or a murder documentary and then feel like, all right, I'm good. Time to go to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes like I'll fall asleep watching it.
I find it uneasy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
And it's a rockabye baby for you. Like, what the hell,
man? Yeah, I dove right off to
it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and we're not the only ones. I actually saw a meme not that long ago. It says, I can't watch a movie where a dog gets hurt, where they're not really getting hurt, but I use serial killer documentaries to relax.
Ooh.
Like, it's true.
I watch Bob Ross to relax.
Yeah.
Dead serious.
Bob Ross.
My wife thinks I'm nuts, but I find it incredibly comforting, relaxing. It's fun. And I pass out in 5 minutes.
Yeah. And that guy, that poor guy. That
documentary, I know.
Speaking of documentaries, a documentary on him.
Yep.
Ripped him off. What a disaster.
You know, it's funny. I believe it or not, I used to watch that in high school when I would be homesick. I would find it on Channel 13 and I would watch it. Who knew back then the hell that he was going through? You just think Bob Ross, Joy of Painting. His life was tough. Really tough.
Yeah. No, it was. I mean, and that's like a guy who was going through all of that stuff and he was still as happy as he was. It's incredible.
At least on camera. Yes.
I'm not capable of doing that.
You wear your heart on your sleeve.
Right.
Yeah.
Things are going terrible. You're going to know that things are going terrible.
Mm.
I can't just turn it on and do a pretty little tree or whatever. Just paint something like that. I'm not capable of doing that stuff.
I love that show. Sadly.
We used to call as a kid. They used to put up a number on the bottom. We used to like prank call that number all the time.
The Bob Ross show?
Yeah. As a kid, like, you know, we were 10, 12, whatever we were, me and my buddy.
You ever
ask stupid questions about his hair and stuff and giggle and hang up the phone? You know?
You ever watch a show? Something like that. So that, right now, because I have that channel on the DirecTV stream. It comes with, and you can watch it on all these different streaming things as well. You ever watch a show, though, that's from, let's say, the 80s, the 90s, early 2000s, then you look at the credits. I wonder how many of these people are still... I'm not going to say that. Like, in the business, like, that are still active and working. And back in the day, they were going through this great joy of painting. And now what are they doing with their lives? If they're even still active.
Well, I mean, yeah, some of them never did anything ever again. Some were just getting their start. But, I mean, and all the things have shrunk in the entertainment business. You see it here. Used to have tape ops all over the place, people coming in, and just things shrink. There's not many people working.
Well, this part of the business, TV's still crazy.
I don't know. That's changing too, though, man.
It is, but then you see all these shows with guys making a fortune and all these different... the amount of employees they have on like a 1 30-minute or a one-hour show a day. I mean, it's a lot busier than here.
I guess it's like how you're consuming it is really changing as opposed to actual the production of things. But yeah, I mean, this is a conversation I probably couldn't have... Boomer wouldn't have understood a thing I was saying about this, I don't think. He'd be like, shut up. Suck it up, Biggs. Find something to watch. Here's this World War II thing you should be watching.
Probably.
But yeah, like I'm struggling with... And that's why I'm watching more stuff on space now, too. Mm-hmm. I'm going as far into like black holes and wormholes and dark matter and all of these things.
That was why when I said to you, Life Below Zero, remember I said I brought that show up? I was stunned you'd never seen that show.
I'd never heard of it. Actually.
So that's on Nat Geo. Maybe you don't have that show. That it is phenomenal the way it is shot, the way it's done, to see how in the year 2025, 2024, whatever, how they live in this Arctic life. Sometimes they've got, you know, 20 hours of sunlight. Sometimes you get 20 hours of darkness. The hunt, the gathering, the way they raise their children. And it's like, you look at what we deal with. Are we really complaining? It's something. And I think you would actually find it interesting. Very real.
I got to write that one down. And during that Jerry Springer documentary, I don't know if you got to it or not, but the point where the executive producer said, if I could kill someone on live TV. I would kill someone on live TV. That's what he said.
Wow.
Now, do you think at any point in our lifetime there will be something like that with the way that things are trending? Because I always said, if you took death row inmates that admitted to their crimes, murderers, and did like a Hunger Games with them, and you threw them out into the woods, and then, you know, one survived, and people could watch this and bet on it, it would be the biggest thing in the history of the world. Now, that is crazy, like dystopian nutso stuff, but I'm telling, like, the way that we are so desensitized.
Sadly, you might
be right.
These
days.
You might be right.
And maybe it doesn't happen in our lifetime. I think at some point, that's going to be on television.
I wouldn't be shocked. I don't know if it's in our lifetime, but I wouldn't be shocked if you told me in the future that was a thing.
Well, it happened, you know, before. I don't know about the betting aspect, but in the Coliseum.
Sure.
You know, so.
But things have changed dramatically since then. I mean,
we've been there before as a species.
Yeah. Well, they'd have a human and a tiger in there and stuff.
Or just gladiators.
Or just a couple gladiators against each other.
Or just the Christians being eaten by the wild animals.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
Ever see Coneheads? Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah. I'm aware of it. I never saw it.
Where he had to Norful the Gar folk. Remember that thing? That's reminded me of that. On their planet. That was the thing that happened if you got in trouble. They said you had to Norful the Gar folk.
I wish I saw it. I didn't see it.
And it was sort of like that. You had to fight this big monster that would eat everybody. And then Dan Aykroyd, because he had lived on Earth, and he loved golf. What he did was he got like his little stick that he had in there, and then he hit a rock into the the guy's mouth, the monster's mouth, and choked on it. Maybe that's where I got that idea, like throwing somebody up against something like that.
And that showed up on your whatever algorithm because of golf.
No.
That would be funny.
No, I saw that. I watched that when I think I went to the theaters to see Coneheads. I was a big Coneheads guy, Saturday Night Live. No.
I did see the movie. I just remember it from the skits back in the original.
Oh, you never saw the movie. Yeah, no,
I'm talking about SNL's.
The Conehead movie is what I'm talking about. Let's go to Joe in Nutley, New Jersey. What's going on, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. Man.
Hey, years ago in Atlantic City at the Hooters, there was a girl that had Tourette's, like I'm talking 20 years ago, and everybody used to go out there and ask for Jennifer. She didn't make the noises, but she had like the tics and stuff like that. It was hysterical. And everybody used to say, hey, can I sit with Jennifer's table? And like the other girls used to laugh and stuff. But Jennifer made a lot of money because of her tics and her little jiggling and everything else going on.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I'm saying. Wow. I mean, this is like, and Jennifer probably knew that too, right? I mean, okay. You know? You know, she's thinking, all right, Hooters, good place. I'm good looking. I got the ticks. People jiggling. It's just terrible.
Hooters, Atlantic City, the last time I saw Troy Aikman playing a football game. Oh, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
The day LeVar Arrington almost killed him on the sideline.
Oh, my God.
This is why I was watching that game. Me and my wife, we were there for a few days, and I wanted to watch the Cowboy game. It's the only place I could find. She didn't care. We went there, and he got injured. I've never played again.
Yeah, there was that Hooters out
and
by.
And Jennifer was our waitress. I'm just kidding.
They had the Hooters out there by Hofstra for many years. I think it turned into something else. But yeah, I've only been to Hooters like two or three times. I feel like I've missed that.
I think I think it's the only time I was there. You know what I was there? I was there with the Columbia, not the basketball team, but a couple of people on the trip.
Yeah.
When we played at like Elon in North Carolina. Again, we were in some remote area. There was nowhere else to go. We ended up at Hooters. It was fine. It was fine.
Let's go. Brianna in New Jersey. What's going on, Brianna?
Hi, good morning. I'm calling because my boyfriend, he watches you guys literally every day. We're expecting our first baby, baby girl in 3 weeks.
Good. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. So I guess I just wanted to see if you guys could give him some like positive like advice or affirmations, anything.
Why is he's not feeling positive about this?
I don't know. He just watches you guys every morning. You guys are his favorite. So I just wanted to call him.
What's his name, Brianna?
Adam.
Adam. All right.
It'll be fine, Adam. It'll be just fine.
There's a lot of ways you can go, Brianna and Adam, with this conversation.
Are you going to give good advice?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. That when there's going to be times that are really difficult, but it really does get easier and better.
Of course.
As the time goes on. Like, people, you can get super overwhelmed mm-hmm. in the beginning and think, oh, my God, this is never going to end. What happened here? What did we do? I don't have the responsibility bone in my body to handle this. And you're looking at each other like, ah. But then you realize, like, just get through that. It'll be fine. And then they'll do something that you love, and then you'll be happy, and you'll have that memory forever. So just remember, in those really tough times, when people come out and say, oh, it's the greatest thing ever, then they never say anything negative, you're full of crap.
The first year is difficult.
Yes, without a doubt.
Adam, realize this. The first year, not great. After that, fantastic.
And make sure that you could find, you know, a good babysitter that you trust, so you guys could still go out and do things occasionally at night when the baby is asleep. I know it's tough in the beginning because they're feeding every, you know, couple of hours, because that's important. Because if you end up not doing that, and then you don't even recognize each other after a while.
I don't know about you, but I remember when Matthew was born, I thought Kim was going to be in the hospital an extra night. And when I went to the hospital the day after he was born, like, no, you know what? She's good. He's good. You can go home. Like, today? they walk you out to the car. Like, here you go. Like, you coming with us? And it's eye-opening at first, but you figure it out and everything will be fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're frightened. Absolutely frightened driving home. Never driven so carefully. Everyone will tell that story. You know, you're just looking back the whole time, and then you're worried about what are the dogs going to do when we get back, and this and that, and just like, you know, how come a nurse doesn't come home with you? What do you mean? Like, because they do everything for you there, it feels like, in the beginning. But yeah, it'll end up being great. But it was tough, man, like in the beginning.
And you know what? As tough as it is, appreciate it. Because you're going to wake up, they're going to be 20 one day, as I'm living here right now.
Yeah. I feel like I'm in a really good spot with them right now.
You probably are.
Like, Sabrina's going to be 7 in February, and Summer is 3. And they're both like, you don't have to be watching them all the time. Yep. Like, if they're playing in the other room, you're not worried about them setting a fire.
They're kids now.
Right, exactly. So there's that, and Sabrina's old enough that if Summer starts getting into trouble, she'll be able to tell us about it. But I think it's a good spot for Christmas. It's a good spot for Disney, which we're doing in March. It's a good, I feel like this is the...
You're probably in the 10-year run of just an absolute blast with them. Not that it's not afterwards, but, you know, before they start driving,
yeah,
you don't have to worry about that yet. This time is probably the best time.
Sabrina could be married by then. She got married young. She got knocked up.
That was terrible. That was so bad.
I agree. That was out of bounds.
That was crazy. It's like, I mean, and I wouldn't even try to go back at him with that. Like, just because it's just so, it's, well, yeah, I could with his grandkids,
that's
but I don't.
True.
But I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, but then you're the bad guy. Trust me, I've been there.
Yeah, there's no way. Just like, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. That was a little weird, but... we'll let that go.
Yep. He was like the Eagles fan.
Uncle Booms. Yeah, right. Completely out of line. But I didn't set him up on that one.
You did not.
Yeah. And, you know, when I moved into Sayville, there's a lot of guys in my neighborhood that were, you know, about 10, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years older than me. And they would have kids that were older as well. And then every single one of them, especially the ones with daughters, two daughters or a daughter, would say the same things. It'd be like, man, like there's a golden age there with them, and they're gonna love you, they're gonna be your best friend, but then it's horrible. And then they're gonna hate your guts.
But
and then at some point they're all gonna be menstruating at the same time. And it's really gonna be bad. That's what they would say.
I thought you were gonna say then they come back as they get a little older.
No,
not that.
And I'm like, man, like, I don't wanna think about all this.
I hear you.
Because now that's all I'm prepared for, is all of that.
So just enjoy the day.
I try. I try to. You know, stay in the moment. Buddhism, all that stuff.
Whatever it takes.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you can do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo. Excuse me, on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So our colleague Pete Bilotti was listening to the show, and he transcribed the conversation between Eddie and I there for a second, where Eddie said, "Or when the Christians were fed to the wild animals for fun," and I went, "Have you seen Coneheads?"
Sounds about right.
Yeah, sounds about right. Is right. All right. We've got, is that Dove in there? Oh, hey, Dove. Good to see you, man. There's Dove. He had a heart attack in the newsroom. You remember that?
I wasn't here.
Crazy. That scared the hell out of me, Dove.
I wasn't here when that
changed
happened.
My life. I started eating better, started praying. No, I didn't do that, but glad to see that you're back.
And you've lost some weight, and you're looking good, and you're eating healthier. That would have been a tough one if we lost you that day, Dove. Really. I would have never, that would have been ingrained
you were
in my
here?
Brain forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess I was just off then when that happened.
Yeah, here he is.
Dove Kramer.
So I remember there was, we walked out and Olive came in. He goes, we got something going on out there. Didn't say what it was. He goes, just make a right.
Yeah.
Don't make a left. And then you were sitting in that chair. And I'm like, Dove. They're like, no. I was trying to save you, just so you know.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I was. You're always there for me.
But the EMTs were holding me back. I'm like, come on, come on. I know CPR. None of that happened. I just walked right by. Let the professionals do their job. How you doing, Dove?
Thank God, I'm okay.
Good.
It's been a trip. It's 2.5 years now.
Actually. Wow, you look great compared to the way you used to look.
Thank you. My cardiologist said it like this. You know, you look great for somebody whose heart is so damaged.
Wow, it's really that
Ouch.
Bad, huh?
Well.
It's that bad?
That's what she says, yeah.
Not damaged? I thought you got a bunch of work done in there and you're okay.
I had a stent put in, that's for the blockage.
But, yeah.
You know, if I didn't take care of it right away, it's a heart attack, so it caused damage.
I feel like you've looked, outside of losing some weight, you've looked exactly the same since the day I met you in 2005.
I don't think I was gray back then.
I think you were.
I think you were.
I kind of think you were.
2005, I was gray?
I think so.
I really do. I mean, maybe you've been gray for this. Maybe you were not, I've got gray in my beard. Maybe it was like this. You know what I'm saying? Like down here, then the chin or whatever. But yeah. So I guess, I'm trying to give you a compliment, I think.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
How's it working with BT and Sal?
It's a great show. Have you heard it?
I have, every day. I listen on the way home every single day. Yeah.
I gave Eddie a bunch of drops to use. He hasn't been using them, though.
Oh, really? Are they not as good as Dove is saying they are?
I don't know because I haven't looked at the new folder he's created.
Okay. All right. Very good.
Oh, we got a BT and Sal folder.
Yes.
See, I'm surprised that you were admitting that on the air because I feel like that's something BT would not like, that someone in the inner circle is providing bullets to them.
Just the opposite. I think he wants it.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
That's interesting.
I would not agree. You agree with that, Jerry?
No.
Yeah, I think he doesn't like that when we do those things. Like,
but I don't know.
He really didn't like the jamming up the A-gap when he kept doing that.
Isn't that the name of his podcast now?
No,
it's Unkillable.
Oh. Jamming up the A-gap.
But they have a segment.
Oh, called, that's what it is.
Right.
That they have a segment called Jamming Up the A-Gap.
Good. So I'm glad he's leaning into it now. But at first, he was not leaning into it.
So you know they're doing, they lost the bet. So he's dressing up as Brother Love or something like this.
Yeah, wrestler, yeah.
Right. So he did this thing, I love Boomer.
Oh, okay. So you've got that. We got that drop.
And some that are a little worse.
Some a little worse. All right, Dove. It's great to see you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate your caring.
I do. I did care. I've known you for a long, it's crazy how long I've known you. I mean, you're getting to a point now, it's like we're talking 20 years. This is going to be my 20-year anniversary of walking into this building in September. And you've been here how long?
37 now, I guess.
37.
Day one, right?
Yes. Damn. Before day one, actually.
Day one.
That is longevity. That is longevity, Eddie. Even longer than you, right?
Yeah, by 2 years
and
plus.
And even before I am, too.
Man, you are like an endangered species in radio, man. We gotta keep you around.
Fuck you!
Dove. I worked with Dove for many years. Awesome radio legend around here. All right, Jerry, what do you have over there for
us? All right, so we're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Trying to keep it to the NFL.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got a Boomer update.
Yeah.
The eastbound BQE is shut down because of an overturned truck. Probably should have left at 7.
Oh, it should not have come in.
Oof.
Ouch.
That is just awful.
Yeah, that could be a couple of hours, no?
If it's shut that's down. A reschedule and another leave early day in the future.
Hi, Booms.
That's not good news for me either, by the way.
Oh. Well, you can work. You can't work you around belt. That? Not the only way you have to go home.
You go down to the battery, down to the Gowanus BQE belt.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I could do that. I mean, it's a long way down the way, but if this is jammed up and things are shut down.
Sitting there for 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. Not great.
No.
Not great. Sorry, Jerry.
No, that's fine.
Hope you went to the bathroom before you left, Boomer.
You're really putting the idea in his head now, or at least has a bottle in his car.
Well, I don't think he's talking that. He's talking the other one.
No. God. Superpower. He doesn't matter.
Okay. I think we were talking the bottle thing.
Imagine
someone driving by and there's Boomer into a bottle because he's been sitting in traffic for 2 hours. Is that Boomer? No, it's Phil.
He could just hang it out the window.
Right. You know what? I'm going to admit this, and I wasn't, but now we're talking about it. Do you remember when we had this conversation and there was a taxi driver who called up and said that he created a thing for other taxi drivers, there's not enough public bathrooms in New York, and it was like a pee buddy or something, and he sent us some of these things. So I desperately wanted to try to use them.
Yeah.
So it was a day where I drank a whole bunch of water before I left because I'm like I want to see if this works, you know, if I ever need it on a on a long road trip or something. No, I've never peed in a bottle or anything.
Really?
Right? I'm usually very
living
good.
That far from here. You've never had that happen.
Never. Never. And for whatever reason, I retain a lot of liquid.
Hmm.
So I end up, you know, work, drinking all that water. It was a horrible experience.
Really?
I missed the entrance of the thing. I hit a pothole. I ended up getting it all over the steering wheel. It was horrible. I was so embarrassed. And then on top of it, so now I've stopped myself from the stream.
Mm.
So now I'm in pain.
Yes. Not good.
It was the,
not good.
So stupid.
And you know that night I worked with Ack on Thanksgiving when he was hosting and I was producing and I was late to see a red-faced, pissed-off Rich Ackerman until I said,
is there another version?
I said, well, no, Rich is cheery a lot of times, especially when he was hosting.
Yeah.
And when I walked in at 12:20, I was supposed to be there at 11 to tape a guest with him, and he was pissed. And I put my hand up. I said, I don't want to hear it. I said, I pointed to my leg, all down the leg.
Oh, no.
Because I got stuck in traffic. I didn't realize there was a lot of traffic on Thanksgiving night. I did cut it too close. Had to go. There was nothing I could do. The bottle missed it all down my leg. And he couldn't have been more sympathetic. And
all right, then, chief, you paid yourself.
It's disgusting, though.
Yeah.
Because what do you do? You're stuck in traffic. There's nowhere to go.
Yeah. And what I should have done, I was thinking, like, you pull over in that situation if you have to.
And do what?
No, you go. If you're I was doing it while I was driving.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant get out. And
No.
I got you.
And I was like, if I'm going to do that, and I'm going to pee in this pee buddy thing.
Because you do see that. People do get out, and they use the car door as like a shield.
Yeah.
But it's like, man, and it's desperation. I get it.
Yeah, so that was bad. I didn't even tell Gina about it. I just came home. I got a little Lysol and paper towels. What are you doing? Nothing. It just was a seltzer.
Not going to be able to get in your car now. I'm going to be looking at the steering wheel.
Oh, yeah. It was
pee wheel.
Yeah, at one point covered in my urine.
Oh, my God. That's right. Gross. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What do we got? Oh, we got all the football coming up this weekend. We've done a lot on that this weekend. Because this is funny to me, so I'm going to play it again. Just the Nick Sirianni one on WIP. One asked if he was okay with A.J. Brown reading the book on the sideline of a playoff game. Just take all that into account, and then you hear this answer.
No, I'm definitely okay with it. Everybody has their... You know, the crazy thing is it's been happening for, you know, he's been reading this book on the sideline for a long time. It just so happened that a camera saw it this week and kind of, you know, I don't know if made a big deal about it or not.
The cameras would see that every week if he was doing that. So no one believes that. And
the follow-up should have been, well, Jalen Hurts never saw it.
That's true. You know what? It could have been. I don't know. I didn't hear the interview. Just a couple of clips that we actually had in the system. So anyway, this weekend, you know, with the Texans and the Chiefs, and then Saturday night, you got the Lions and the Commanders, Sunday, Eagles, Rams, and Sirianni's team, and then Sunday night, you got the Bills and the Ravens. NBA-wise, the Nets played in Portland late last night.
Russell handles, can run a high screen. D'Angelo feeds a rolling clown. He goes to the rim, scoring. Right over Klingon.
And the Nets actually get a win on the road in Portland, 132-114. Chris Carino with the call here on The Fan. Cam Johnson led the way with 24 points, 14th one of the season for Brooklyn, now 14-26. And D'Angelo Russell comes off the bench, 13 points and 9 assists. The two best teams in the league, the Cavaliers and Thunder, at least by record, of course. The Cavs are 34-5 with their win last night over the Pacers. The Thunder now 33-6 with their win in Philly. The Knicks will be in Philadelphia tonight. Nets visit the Clippers. That'll be on The Fan. Your St. John's team at the Garden last night, taking on Georgetown, and all good for the Red Storm.
Scott for three. Bingo! Aaron Scott, three-point shot near side. St. John's has the lead, 44-43. Time out, Georgetown.
Hey, it's getting louder here, Mink Man.
Yeah, yes. Tony Johnson.
Yes.
F*** you.
Mink and Brandon Tierney with the call on St. John's Radio. Not an easy win, 63-58, but a win is a win. Here was Rick Pitino on Peacock afterwards. That was a telling victory.
We were dominated on the boards after dominating everybody. They're really well coached. They knew that. Kicked our ass on the backboard. But when you don't have a great night, you come back and win, it tells you who you are and what you're all about.
You know who they are? They're 15-3, and they're 6-1 in the Big East. So.
And some of those games they lost, I mean, almost all of them.
Surprising they're not ranked.
Yeah, they will be now. They have to be after this stretch. But they were, you know, there were buzzer beaters down in the Bahamas, two of them.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, they're 15-3. They very easily could be 17-1. So they have played very well. Seton Hall taking on Butler tonight. Fordham facing UMass tonight. And the Rangers did lose in overtime.
Down low, O'Connor. Knocked away with a stick by Shesterkin. O'Connor back to the point. Set up for Tate. He scores.
And that was the game winner in OT, 3-2. Yes. And it was after the Rangers gave up the game-tying goal with 1:13 left in regulation. So they settled for the 1 point when two was right in their sights. The Devils lost in a shootout to the Panthers, 2-1. And the Islanders lost at home to the Senators by the score of 2-0. Time now for Moment of the Day, and a lot on Chris Russo this morning. A story that was very cool as he had some odd moments at the overseas premiere of the new Bob Dylan movie, as you highlighted early this morning.
Then there's actually a video of Chalamet and Dog meeting, and of course Dog very touchy, very handsy. Dog, you know, he has to go and hug him, so he goes up, he's hugging him and he's patting him on the back, and, you know,
where's Cox?
There you go. Moment of the day. It's a short one, but a good one.
That's what he does when he meets celebrities, man. He does it with everybody. Apparently, he ended up, it made people feel very awkward when he met Bruce Springsteen and went up and hugged him.
Is that a nervous thing?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I just think that's his body just does it.
Very touchy. He's always been very touchy-feely.
I know. He'd get up behind you and, like, rub your chest sometimes. You know that one?
He's never done that. The chest?
Oh, he did that with me all the time.
He used to give me the massage.
Yeah, the massage. Eddie, you know that one?
Oh, I can confirm that,
Yeah.
A chest rub.
Yeah, he'd come up behind you and put his arm, like, in, like under your arm, and then Give you a little chest.
How's it going, pal?
I got the massage. I never got the chest rub.
I'd be sitting there like, do I like this? This guy's like my idol, but at the same time, it's getting a little strange.
Yeah.
Good job, dog. That was awesome. I really enjoyed that whole Timothée Chalamet thing. It was fun to watch.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Deion Sanders getting a lot of support from former Cowboys. Your boy Drew Pearson also coming out publicly and saying that Deion should be the number one choice. We know how Michael Irvin feels about that. Now, it was interesting when Phil was on, Phil Sims this morning, he said that Jerry Jones is not going to want someone like Deion taking away the shine from him and answering the questions about the team and people paying attention to him more than Jerry. And I would understand that because, you know, over the history of Jerry Jones, there's really only one guy that he hired that was bigger than him, and it was Bill Parcells. So why would he do that now? Well, he would do that now because Deion, I think, you could make the case, is ready to take on the challenge of an NFL head coaching job. The Cowboys immediately start getting talked about as exciting again. He's always been about the entertainment aspect. That's why he wanted to draft Johnny Manziel. He loved that whole idea. And he's also older. And he doesn't necessarily maybe want to do every one of these interviews all the time. And he knows that in a couple of years, maybe it's just not going to happen where he's going to talk after every game 50 times. So why not hand it over to another very celebrity-obsessed man to kind of take this team into the next generation with his son, Steven, at the helm. So I think that Jerry immediately called Deion Sanders for a reason because he's serious about it.
I think he is serious about it. And I also think, I don't believe the whole Jerry not hiring a big name coach for that reason. I think it's more Jerry trying to convince the big name coach to come there because of Jerry. If you remember when Bill Parcells got that job, he was on, I don't know if it was Jerry Jones's private plane or yacht, I don't remember, for hours. And the way that story was, maybe it's myth, maybe it wasn't true, but the thinking was he had to convince Bill Parcells that he would get out of the way and let Parcells do the job, that they could coexist. I think this is more of, does Deion want to do the job with Jones around? Is Jones okay with having him around? Which clearly I think that's a yes. And the bigger question is, and to me, I think it's Deion's job if he wants it personally. The bigger question is Deion Sanders going to take a job where his son could be in the same division with him? I know there's all these conversations about trading and trading up and trading Dak somewhere else and having Shador Sanders be the quarterback of the Cowboys. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. But right now, if you took that job, that's not the case. And that's not a given or a definite. So I love the idea. I've loved the idea for a couple of years now. And I think he's exactly what that team needs.
Yeah, I mean, it would be fascinating to watch. I mean, he'd be the best landing spot, the most exciting landing spot for him. And I think the other big question with the coaching ranks is now Ben Johnson is linked to everybody.
Yeah.
He's linked to the Raiders. He's linked to the Cowboys. He's always been linked to the Bears and the Jaguars. And where is he going to pick? I guess that Tom Brady really wants Ben Johnson, according to some, and that's a reason why Tom Telesco was nudged out of there.
Yeah,
is because he thought that it'd be easier to get Ben Johnson with a GM that he's already worked with before. But I mean, that's a situation out there in Vegas. You got a crazy owner who I love in Mark Davis, but he's nuts, and no quarterback to be seen out there. Where you've got at least Caleb Williams in Chicago, if he wants to go against the Lions. And maybe he feels like he's got something in a healthy Trevor Lawrence. But that decision where we once thought it was one of two places for Ben Johnson is now doubled.
I tell you what, though, he's got his choice. I mean, he can basically go where he wants to go because everybody wants him. So I guess the Jets haven't interviewed him.
No, because that
hasn't. Why, I don't know.
But I mean, you just bring that, even though he's not going to take the job, and he's probably maybe not be a fit for New York, you still bring the guy in and pick his brain to him.
You would think.
I mean, the same thing with McCarthy. Now, did I totally make this up or something where, was there a story about the last time the Jets interviewed Mike McCarthy, like it didn't go well or something, like he didn't show up?
I don't know. I do remember, and that's why I brought it up this morning. I thought, and I should have checked, but I haven't had a moment to do so. I thought he interviewed last time. I thought things, I don't remember it not going well. I just remember them not going with him.
Yeah.
And it was prior to him going to Dallas. Hmm. Other than that, I don't remember. But I do feel like he interviewed for the Jets. And I know that people wanted him. You mentioned Joe, right? Joe wanted him.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was something that was... maybe it was something that was told, like, afterwards. Because right now, it's you've typed McCarthy and Jets, and it's just all stuff that's recent.
Right. You have to sift through a lot to get to six years ago.
It's another guy that, like, I mean, has done these jobs at high levels and high-pressure places, and as one that you're not talking to. It's just stupid.
All true.
I mean, even if you don't plan on hiring these guys, talk to these guys.
Even going back to the Raider thing, isn't it, like, Tom Brady's calling the Super Bowl this year. At some point...
It's got to be over this year. Has to be.
Yeah, and I'm not even saying it will or it won't, but, like, don't you have to make a decision? Like, be a minority owner, that's fine, but to have input and say into decisions you're making on personnel on the field, and then you're going to go, like, he's going to call a game now on Saturday night to where the guy he wants to come run his team is in charge of this part of the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre. That's why this has to be a one-year experiment, and he's going to have to walk away from it because it's just impossible. And I think that, I mean, he wasn't as involved or really involved at all when the season started. And then you had that video of him coming into the facility and everybody is clapping. And now you're hearing that he's got major decision-making power. This can't exist.
Mm-mm.
But Fox is like, you at least got to do this Super Bowl for us.
Well, and he will. But I think going forward beyond this season, especially when you start, although you would think he's going to have to be part of the interview process and all of that if he's having this much of a hand into what's going on right now. And you've got, what's today, January 15th?
Yeah.
We've still got 3 weeks before the Super Bowl.
And Vince Wilfork just texted me. He said that Tom Brady sucks at broadcasting anyway, so no one's going to miss him. He did not say that. He didn't text me.
I did see the post so online from a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, that was amazing. Funny. It was absolutely amazing. That's there.
Mm.
He wanted to get that off his chest.
Apparently.
I gave him an opportunity to do so.